All right, we're gonna go ahead and call this meeting to order. It is Tuesday, August 7th, 2018, at 7:01 PM, and we are meeting here for a council meeting at the Cedar Hills Recreation Center. We are going to start, with a pledge, not led by council, but as a council, we might start a couple of pledges.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Father, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have together this evening as a council to discuss the needs of our city. We are grateful for this beautiful and wonderful community that we live in, and for the people who live here, and for the participation that we receive from many who volunteer their time and who share their insights and feedback with us. We're grateful for our staff members and for the time that they've been able to make this a wonderful community to live. We ask you to please bless us this evening, that as we're discussing the needs of the city, our minds are partially open to the needs of our community, and that we will be able to discuss those issues in a manner that helps bring peace and cooperation to our city. And we pray for this season, and we ask that you bless us. Okay, we will move on to item number two, which is approval of the meeting agenda. Anyone have a motion?
I move that we approve the agenda for today's council meeting, August 7th.
Thank you. I have a motion made by Councilmember Miller. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We'll move on to item number three, which is public comment. I do have four people signed up for public comment, and when I call your name, would you just let me know if you want to speak now during the general public comment, or if you want to wait until the public hearing? The first one is Sherry Conti.
I'll speak at the hearing.
Thank you. Ken Hazelbaker.
At the hearing.
Jean Peasley.
I have her most of her comment.
Okay. Dave Free. But hearing, okay. Is there anyone who wanted to speak today during the general public comment? All right, I will go ahead and close that portion then, and we will move on to the consent agenda, which is a couple of the minutes from the July 17, 2018 work session at City Council meeting.
Okay.
By our motion on that.
I skipped.
I have a motion made by Councilmember Geddes to approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We will move on to item number six and seven, which are screening reports and business, starting with Mr. Geddes.
Yeah, a few things. We have the annual pancake breakfast that's going to be held here at this building in this room, August 18th, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And we'd encourage you to all show up and bring your families. Second, we have a couple of planning commission vacancies, and we've had these vacancies for a while now. We'd encourage interested residents to make application. If you're interested, please reach out to me. I'd love to speak with you about it. School will be starting in about a week, and we've encouraged residents to please slow down, be observant of the posted signs in school zones. For the mayor and council, we have the upcoming Utah League of Cities and Towns conference on September 12th through the 14th at the Sheraton in Salt Lake. This is an excellent time to get trained on upcoming legislation, land use issues, housing, mayor council roles, and find out what other communities are doing. So I'd encourage you to attend that. If you're interested, please reach out to myself or Gretchen. And then finally, I wanted to just thank the first responders who responded on our fire that we had in the middle of the night on July 27th. Very, very pleased with the work that they did that night. Thank you. Not just from Lone Peak, but from Lone Peak, but also from the neighboring communities that came out and helped. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Geddes. All right. Any other updates? Councilmember Miller. Councilmember Miller. All right. I see. So we will move on to item number eight, which is a review action and public hearing on the final plan approval for the Cedar Hills Gate commercial subdivision.
Mayor and Council, what we have before us tonight is a final approval for the plat on Cedar Hills Gateway subdivision. This is the approximately 90 acres that were formerly owned by the city that was purchased recently and is zoned SC1 commercial zone. The proposal as it sits divides up the parcel into 8 buildable lots of varying sizes. The reason that you don't see building envelopes and you don't see parking lots and access to each of these properties is that we're only approving the street infrastructure and the public utilities at this time. What this does is it allows the developer to take these parcels and to go sell them in order so that when he comes back, he's catering the building to the actual tenant, not trying to fill a building with a potential tenant. We're excited about the prospect of future commercial in the city, and we've been working diligently with staff and with the OpenShaw group on making sure that this meets the needs of the community. Let me go over a few items that are follow-ups from previous meetings and prepare with the work session. We'll go over them again for the public's good. In the previous council meeting, we talked about this access point onto the property. This is 9900 North. This is 4800 West North County Boulevard. At this point, initially, we had shown that it would be limited to a full access in and a right out only. So cars that were leaving the property wouldn't be able to make a left hand turn, or they'd be forced to go right by some traffic control device there in the center lane. Based on feedback from council, we felt that it's staff agrees with you that this should be a full access, given that the people that are going to be turning left here at this point are Cedar Hills residents. It won't make it easy for Cedar Hills residents to access the Cedar Hills commercial area and to be able to access their homes from the commercial area. Another item to note is that this access point heading west onto North County Boulevard widens at this point in order to accommodate 3 lanes of traffic. You can see, it's hard to see maybe, but you can see right and left turn lanes here and then an access again. And then finally, we talked about how this intersection would play out. Initially, it was shown as a tabletop design. What we're trying to do is narrow the road at this point in order to slow traffic. We don't want this to become a drag strip. But the tabletop was a concern to the Public Works Department in that they have to get snow plow blades in and out. So what we're proposing instead is a four-way stop here with this development to occur at a later date. And then finally, we wanted to address the walkability of the piece itself. So you can see some sidewalks. There's a sidewalk surrounding the property as a whole, and then you can see a sidewalk up here on this side going north-south, and then a sidewalk on this north side of this access point, and then the sidewalk on the south side, this access point. This is not the extent of the sidewalks or the infrastructure that will be built. As each lot gets built, they'll show a location for a building, they'll show a location for a parking lot, and they will show how pedestrians are meant to walk from the parking lot into the building and to adjacent properties. Our commercial design guidelines encourage the shared use of shared parking, so we want to make sure that we're accommodating that and that we're creating a walkable commercial center that meets those needs and those desires found in the city code.
Can I interrupt you just on the sidewalks? So, because these are the only required sidewalks then? I mean, if they don't want to, like say lot 5 wouldn't have to put a sidewalk on its easterly boundary.
They wouldn't have to. Our code does require sidewalks on both sides. If you look at our current commercial zone, there is a sidewalk. If you walk into the mall, there's no sidewalk on the west side. And the point of that is to make sure that we're not using up all of our commercial land for sidewalks.
Yeah, okay.
But to that point, as you look at the border of each of these lots, you can see that there's a 10-foot public utility easement going around each of these lots. As needed, we can add a sidewalk.
Okay. But you're allowing them a little flexibility to maybe do whatever they might want to do.
Yeah. And then an item, one more item I might as well bring up is the item of landscaping. We're working out an agreement with them that if we can get them to beautify this, and this is the retention basin in Cedar Canyon subdivision, if we can get them to upgrade this from a rock mulch to some sort of grass, we can count this as part of our landscaping requirements. The city code requires that 30% of commercial areas be landscaped, some sort of way or another. This is a 9-acre piece we're looking at. Netting out the roads, you're looking at probably about 2.5 acres of landscaping requirements. This being only about a half acre, so you're still looking at 2 more acres of landscaping. So the entirety of landscaping is not going to be found in this corner, but will be this corner and then spread throughout the development as a whole. Now each piece may not total 30% as it stands alone, but by the time the development is finished, it will have to meet that 30% requirement.
But that includes tree pockets and things like that?
Sure, yes.
Parking lot?
Yes.
Not the parking itself, but...
Not the parking itself, but certain forms of decorative concrete, which you may or may not love, but there's ways to meet that, as we've seen our current questions of it.
Any questions from the council? Is there anybody here for the public hearing for this particular item? Just come and state your name and your address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Hi, my name is Mary Ann Spear. I'm 9937 North, 4680 West, South Apple. And I'm here because I've learned something differently since our planning commission meeting last week. And in that meeting, I haven't even talked to Chandler about this, but I asked about the height of the concrete fence along the eastern part of this development that would back up to the neighbors, and he said it'd be 6 feet. I said, will it be like Walmart's? Yes. We know how to measure Walmart's, and they are all 8 feet. So I would like for them to, and I've had neighbors contact me about this concrete fence unsolicited, and then I've asked the others, how do you feel, 6 or 8? And they've all said 8.
8.
8. So I just want to talk about the pros and cons of that with the developer later, and I just wanted to be written in stone that it's going to be 6 feet. All right, thank you. Is there anyone else that's here tonight to speak up this item? Yes.
My name is Marie Kraft, 9925 North, 4680 West, and I live on the east side of the property. And we, and the residents that live over there, do have a concern about the traffic flow that's going to happen once this all goes in, and they know that the city or whoever's decided not to put in the right hand turn coming, or right exit only coming out on the, I guess that's the south side. What the concern is, as neighbors and people that live over there, it's really, as much as Cedar Hills is everywhere else, it's very, very family oriented, lots and lots of kids, lots of activity during the night, during the day with kids, the kids play night games. We are concerned about traffic. Well, that's going to happen to that area. We already see people using that big, you know, coming out of Walmart from the roundabout straight through. They will come through on this street all the time as it is and cut through the different streets in the neighborhood. And we get a lot of fast traffic as it is. And this isn't even in yet. So just looking ahead, just want to maybe just raise awareness of maybe things that can be done to help curb the traffic flow in the neighborhood, not to preserve life there. It's for the safety of the kids and the possibility of maybe speed bumps in there to protect some of the neighbors and the kids. Maybe the another possibility is that the neighborhood before it enters and going west there, maybe a four-way stop. Just things to consider to help protect the neighborhood here.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here for public comment on this item? go ahead and close that public hearing. Council, there's no further discussion or questions for me, but I have a motion on this item.
I will make a motion.
Okay.
Here, one second.
Just, more of this is concerns with the project. On the fencing, I struck my code of fast, but I'm terrible navigating on my phone, I apologize. If the city code calls out specifically 6 feet or hazard, if it's not specifically called out, I think that's a conversation we can have. That'd be my response at this point, without diving into the code too much. Second, on the access point here, a couple of things. That's some very legitimate concerns were brought up. What I would say to that is that at this point, given that we don't know the full extent of what the actual commercial uses are, it's difficult to say what the traffic impact would be. As each development comes through, each one will be required to show a traffic study, showing what their impact will be on the surrounding neighborhood. So for example, if we hope, and I've heard a lot of residents really want to see restaurants, so if we get restaurants with drive-through weekends, we expect that that will have a greater impact on traffic than, for example, a storage unit, that indoor climate control storage unit, than what's been discussed in the past on Lot 8. Traffic impacts, although this is a much larger facility than a drive-through, the actual traffic impact is much, much less. Now, as far as how you mitigate those impacts is a different discussion. If a use comes in and shows that the potential use or the potential impact of traffic will change the level of service on these intersections to the point where you can't turn within a certain number of seconds or it backs up, then that's when we start discussing with the potential use the inclusion of certain traffic control devices. If we see that by changing Lot 5 to a certain use, and that use will then cause this intersection to fail, at that point we need to reevaluate how this intersection flows and if that intersection is limited to a ride out. But with the uses not being known at this time, it's possible to really gauge what the actual traffic impact is. But that is for discussions in the future. Now, it's easy to it's not that difficult to take a lane like this and say, okay, well, we're going to change this, we're going to modify this to be only a ride out based on certain impact. However, changing it, designing it to only be ride out limits you in the future. So, we're taking it at its greatest use, and if we need to scale it back based on impacts, we can. It does give us that flexibility.
Thank you. I just need some clarity. I'm sorry, Matt, what was your name?
Marie.
So were you talking about vehicles exiting, or are you talking about through traffic?
I'm talking about through traffic.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So,
and it's the road above.
So it's up there by
the
So even with that, we'll show the traffic study will show the number of cars coming in and out. This road will be widened. But for example, Walmart, when Walmart was developed, part of their traffic mitigation was the inclusion of speed bump on Redwood. It's that terrible when you go over, it's like the bottoms at the car at a time. That was part of their development, so they had to include that traffic mitigation to slow down traffic because there was a feeling that cars should be driving faster if more cars would be on the road. So even though it's not on the Walmart site, it still requires certain traffic mitigation off site in order to prevent a failure of your road system or transportation system.
just as long as we're conscious about that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing we definitely keep an eye on, because as it comes in, as the first development comes in, they're going to have a very minimal impact. It's going to be the last few developments that come in that really have to take into account all the development that's occurred to that point, and it's going to say, what do we add to that? It becomes a little bit more challenging. But to also to that point, if you drive up on this north end of 4700, there's a cutout right there, and the cutout lead is just a road base. There's no asphalt or anything. On a number of occasions, I've seen people, as they're driving west on Cedar Hills Drive, I've seen them kind of look at that light, not wanting to go through the light on 4800 West, and seeing nobody coming to the east on the oncoming traffic, and dart around into oncoming traffic where there's no traffic, and then make that right-hand turn onto the road base. Just go look at the tire tracks. You see it happens daily. My fear is that if we just required a ride out right here, people would look left, look right, do a U-turn. It's not actually going to mitigate the traffic at this point. So that's something I think that we need to just be conscientious of and watch as this development takes place.
I did pull up the code. It does say a precast concrete or decorative masonry wall at least 6 feet high shall be erected along all property lines and flight adjacent to the residential lines. So I think we can still have a conversation with the code.
I think that language is open to the public. So that works. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. I move to approve the plot plans of the Cedar Hills Gateway subdivision, subject to really no specifics that other than what we discussed.
Yeah, subject to final engineering review.
What's my final engineering review?
Thank you. I have a motion by Councilmember Geddes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We move on to item number 9, which is a review action and public hearing on an ordinance amending city code title. It says 3, no, that's wrong. Chapter 3, regarding the zoning of a portion of Lot 26, Cedar Hill Subdivision Plat 1 from the PF Public Facility Zone to the R1 11,000 Residential Zone and vacating the open space provision of a portion of Lot 26, Cedar Hill Subdivision Plat 1 to amend the official zoning map to reflect the zoning changes.
Okay. As many of you know, staff, I'm going to go off right now and say staff's recommending this item be tabled. There was an error in the notice that went out. Rather than saying Title 10, Chapter 3, regarding rezoning, it said Title 3, Chapter 3, giving the wrong reference to city code. It's an unfortunate error, but in the unlikely event that any decisions challenged, we want to make sure that the public notice was not the reason that the challenge takes place. So, with that, staff is recommending that ultimately this item be tabled for the August 21st meeting when it can be noticed properly. With that being said, staff did attempt to send emails out to as many residents as they could in the area. And if you did not get an email, I have a list printed out telling you why you did not get an email. Some explanation. So if you're curious, if you did not, you're one of the ones that did not get any email, you have to go over that list with you. But would you like to discuss this tonight? What do you want to do?
Mr. Council, Mr. Cabone's going to have to go through this presentation again on August 21st, so I will leave it to your discretion whether you want to have to go through that presentation now, or if you would like to suggest that we wait until the next council meeting.
I would suggest waiting for the next council meeting. Obviously, if you want to hear from the residents, and here to speak today. But I think that to avoid redundancy, and I think it's anticipated that council members Anderson and Ellsworth will be here next time.
That's correct.
And they would be good at doing the start. I think it would be prudent to just avoid the redundancy and hear from residents what we're needed to do today.
Councilmember Geddes and David, right. Are you fine with that?
I agree with that.
Okay, so we will forego the presentation and move on to the public hearings for item number 9. We will start with the first individual, Sherry Fondy. We'll start with your name and address, and then you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Sherry Condi. I live at 4221 West, Oak Grove North. Council members, I'm asking you to deny the request for rezoning of public facility land into residential use. Many of my neighbors feel as I do. The change in the open space plat will affect the surrounding property values in a negative way. I'd like to thank you for holding these positions on our city council. I've heard from a few longtime residents of Cedar Hills that, in the past, the city council was looked at with suspicion, skepticism, and even scorn. But I'm here this evening with an open mind and a trusting heart, because you are young, exuberant people with the ability to reach out to the community and the breadth of experience to respond to all the factors involved here. At first glance, the petitioner's offer seems reasonable and tempting. But listen to what the community has to say about it on Facebook and on the petition against rezoning, and I quote, "Keep it as open space and hopefully you'll realize the city won't budge and will sell it to the city for what it's worth. Let's keep it open space. Time will help drive the price to a more affordable level. Keeping zoning as recreation. We want a green belt, not a building lot. And my favorite quote is, you zoned it, now keep it." In 2015, when the city placed Nestle and some other pieces of parks into the PF zone, there was no objection from Mr. Parsons. There has never, ever been a buildable lot. The Planning Commission chair stated that the recommendation to rezone would be a good compromise because neither party is happy with it. But in fact, I see no compromise. If you approve this, the petitioner would be getting everything he wants, which is the residential lot with a view and a big tax deduction for donating the land he doesn't even want. You have your hands full with the Deerfield Harvey Park right now. Give yourselves a few years to catch your breath and to take another look at this in 2025. I don't think jumping into it now will fix anything. Mr. Goodman told the planning commissioners that both they and the city council have a wide use of latitude. You may use that latitude and personal discretion to think about how a rezone would affect the community. And because of the typo, you'll have 2 weeks to think about it before you vote. So please think about it, especially when you walk out your back door and look at your own yard, your little piece of open space and nature. Think how important that yard is to you and your family. Yes, it's probably little, but what a difference it makes to your quality of life. I'm asking to see Mr. Jones' half acre in the same way. Yes, it's little, but it's important, and it makes a difference to our neighborhood. Today, John was over at the neighbor's helping with a project, and I was out running errands, so no time to make lunch, and I picked up some Chinese. Here is my fortune. What you do matters. All you need to do is do it. And this is the kind of thing that helps me to be persistent and hope to come to talk to you. But I'm recommending to you that you do nothing to change the zone of open space, even a half acre of open space.
Thank you, Ms. Bobby. Next is Ken Hazelbaker.
My name is Ken Hazelbaker. I live at 10253 North Polk Road, west. I'm in the former Reed Swenson home. We live directly across the street from there. Anyway, we purchased a home 3 years ago and moved up to Sacramento. And when we bought the home, we canvassed the area. We were told that it was zoned open. We looked at the maps. It was zoned open space. It was a significant reason for us purchasing that particular property for us. We've been here for every hearing. And a couple things I want to say. First of all, Mayor Reese, we really appreciate you and other council members who have met with us during the last couple weeks just to be able to hear our perspective and to talk and dialogue. I didn't know you before. I voted for you. I just got to say, you are the finest mayor I've ever seen. Articulate. I'm just proud that we live in a community that is represented that well and that professionally. Chandler, your presentation to the Zoning Commission last week. Spot on, best thing I've ever seen. It was really, really good. And I also want to say to Jeff, Public Works Director, I thank him. When they were doing the paving, there was a little conflict there. Water got shut off because that area is kind of old and doesn't have the isolation. He came in early to turn the water on for our portion of the North Oak Road, and I want to thank you for that. We also realized there was a little snafu with the garbage collection, but you know, those things happen. And I just wonder, raise it to you, but appreciate the good city involved. All I want to say is I've heard that there's been a compromise floated, that the zoning commission thought, well, maybe that's what we should do. Give him his little acre and the rest gets donated. And then we won't have all this hassle every time somebody floats a private proposal to you. What I'd like to suggest is that it's been this way for 40 years, as Chandler mentioned. No reason to change it. If you stand firm so that everybody knows this is what Cedar Hills wants. And if you stand firm, it's not an administrative churn. All that happens is, here's another proposal. It's still open space. No reason to change. Study the course, full speed ahead. As long as every private person who comes and tries to get the foot in the door and try to wear the community down, if the council will stand firm, that will never happen. And it doesn't have to take all these big, huge meetings we have, because we know you guys will stand firm. That's why we voted for you, and we just hope that you'll stay the course. So thank you.
Thank you. Next is Jim Beasley. I believe this is Thomas and Reaver statement.
I received a text from June. Am I able to read this?
Yes. Or?
Jean Peasley lives at 10147 North, Oakland West. We voted for a town council to represent the people who live in Cedar Hills and those whose their decisions affect. In other words, those living on the borders of the open space and future nature park. Please don't feel the need to represent speculators who know what they were buying, who knew what they were buying, and who don't live here. We are grateful for your service. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Dave
Friedman. Dave 4309 West Oak Road in Cedar Hills. First, I want to thank the Planning Commission for all their time and effort that they put in. And this is the reason you kind of last week also being so involved and understanding where we're at. I think everybody's received the 150 petition, 150 names are on the petition. I'm going to make sure that gets put in as well as the Facebook information. As was already stated, I am the same side as keeping it in the public space, the open space, and not rezoning it to the R111000. We do ask that it be kept up. A lot of the Planning Commission was talked about were things that I don't think are really the issues. There are issues down the road, but we talked about encroachment. That was a big, huge issue. But that's really not the issue we're talking about. We're talking about leaving it in the open space. The encroachment can be dealt with. But once that piece of property is changed and it's moved into a R111000, it's now built on the open space that we have there. It's gone. What it's going to look like, a trail or a park, like Sherry said, down the road, we can worry about those things. But the weeds should be taken care of, and that was one of the comments that was made, is that, well, if we make them pay for cleaning up the weeds, then they should be able to make a profit out of it. Mr. Dodge said it best, I think. The people who live next to the commercial property, who may object to the commercial property, were told, you bought next to commercial property, so therefore, you live next to a commercial property. We bought next to open space. That's what it's always been, and that's what it should be. I feel those who live next to the golf course, it's not fair for them to purchase open space as their backyard to dig it out and make it a home, because it's not fair for them. They purchased it with something in mind. And so we would ask that you continue to keep it where it's at and not make the change that the Planning Commission has suggested. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here tonight that wanted to speak on this item? Yes.
Diane Sorensen, 407A, I just have, I would encourage the council to deny this request, but I just had two questions, and one of them is, I'm not sure what the city is being if they approve this request, because it would be rezoned, and there's very limited open space left. And so that would encroach on that. And the parcel of land that would be donated back to the city appears to be landlocked. So I'm not sure how anyone benefits from that. Those are my two questions. It was bought for a low price, and the seller is getting a lot for this. And everyone else bought their homes with the understanding of the open space. Anyone else? All right, so we will go ahead and close the public hearing, and I will take a motion on table item.
I move that we table item 9 until the next meeting.
All right, I have a motion made by Councilmember Geddes, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes, thank you, so you will move on to the final item, which is motion.
Just one comment, if any of you folks have any questions out there, I know it's open, you can come up, please feel free to come up at them.
Likewise, I've kind of been out of town for a long time.
Yeah, please just come forward and let us know. I don't know the reason.